And we're back at the live stage here at Microsoft Ignite. First guest of the season, first Whoa. Guest of
the first guest?
Tuesday.
Now,
okay. Corey Sanders, okay. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, gosh, friend. A delight, as always. Yes.
Thank you for joining us here at ignite.microsoft.com online. If you're catching the live stream, if you're here at the conference, you can come down to the area just around the convention center registration and be able to
right
come
near
and
the,
see us.
Right near the Starbucks.
You got yep. it, man. It's mm-hmm. the best place to mm-hmm. be because you can see the food hall, you can see the Starbucks line, and you can determine which one you got to go to get your Java in the morning.
That's right.
It's perfect. I'm Rick Claus here at the Channel 9 live stage here at Microsoft Ignite. I'm joined by the venerable Corey
illustrious.
Sanders. Illustrious.
I go by illustrious now.
Now,
mm-hmm.
now he's technically called the Director of Program Management
uh-huh.
inside Windows Azure Compute.
Azure Compute.
I'll get it right.
That's right.
I'll get
That's
it.
Right.
Let's do a take two on that. Oh, no, wait, we're live. We can't
we're
do
live. We're live. We'll try it again. Can we restart? Can we re-roll? That's B-film.
This is the joy of doing a live stream. We do a little segment of a show that's called Tuesdays with Corey.
We do.
So we've decided on the whim and the fly to be able to actually call this Tuesdays with Corey, Cinco de Mayo edition.
Cinco de Mayo.
Here at Microsoft.
Where are my margaritas?
Where you're able to go out and ask Corey any kind of questions. So yes, you can ask us questions. If you're here in person, it's a little bit hard because we can't hear you, but you can always tweet your questions using the hashtag MSIgniteCH9, and I'm watching that particular hashtag right here. You can also, if you happen to be interacting with us on the Channel 9 website, channel9.msdn.com, there is a form there you can fill out to be able to ask us questions as well. But before I ask you your first question, we actually had one that was called out at the end of last month by a guy by the name of Hector R.
Okay.
And he was asking specifically if I was using storage spaces on Windows 2012 R2 image up
uh-huh.
in Azure,
uh-huh.
and he attaches enough data disks to be able to get some better performance off of them.
Yeah.
Let's say it's about a terabyte worth of overall storage space,
mm-hmm.
but he's only consuming, let's say, 10 gigs of actual space on that.
Yeah.
How much does he get billed for it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So what was his name again?
His name was Hector R.
Hector. So Hector, good question. The answer is actually on a standard storage deployment, you'll end up paying only for what you use, which is really pretty, thank you, which is really pretty. I was looking the wrong way, which is really pretty exciting. The fun of a live show, you guys saw it here. You can only pay for what you use, so even if you provision out huge amounts of disk space, you have multiple terabytes of disks attached, if you end up using only 10 gig or 10 meg, you'll end up only paying for what you use. And if you're running actually on Windows, on some of the later versions of Windows, we'll even trim it. So when you delete things, we will actually in the system trim back what you're using. So if you go up, fill up a terabyte of disk and then drop it back down to 10 gig, you'll end up actually only, again, paying for the 10 gig once you're done. And so we trim it back down, and it makes it really easy to sort of use and pay exactly what you use. Now, premium storage is a little bit different.
Oh, it
premium
is.
Premium storage is actually you pay more for the space that you choose, but there's multiple tiers.
Okay.
And so you can go through those multiple tiers and decide exactly where you'll fit in, and then you'll make sure you pay for that tier based on the size that you've got.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. So that's kind of, again, how this works. I'm going to have some other questions to ask Corey as well. But like I said, if you are watching this online, you can tweet your questions right now live with the hashtag MSIgniteCH9.
CH9.
You got it. I've got the list up here for what they are. If you're on the forums page, you're able to go off and fill out the form, and our lovely assistants at the Channel 9 area will go off and make those available, just so you know they show up right over there. That blank one right there. So I had you on the stage. Again, thank you very much for joining us, because one of your sessions ends up being usually one of the more popular ones,
uh-huh.
and it's a repeat session that happens at almost any conference you go and speak at. I don't know if that's just because you're like, that's the only topic
it's
to talk about?
It's the only thing I'm able to speak about.
Okay.
It's the only thing they'll let me talk about,
okay,
actually.
Okay, so why don't you pimp your session right now.
Yeah.
What session is it, and when is it taking place?
It's the, I think it's the Welcome to Infrastructure as a Service session. So I think it's it is a session focused on the basics.
Yep.
It's a 200-level session, so it's focused on the basics of infrastructure as a service. And it's this afternoon. It's at 1:30.
Yep.
And so it talks about a little bit of how things work on the back end, how you can use it. There's a few demos. There's a few laughs here and there. You'll enjoy it. You'll cry a little bit, maybe, mostly because you just spent an hour and 15 minutes listening to me. But but otherwise, I think you'll really enjoy the session.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, from the stock questions that I have that I want to make sure we get to, because there were some new announcements that came out last week during the Build conference.
Yes.
One of these things is what's known as ARM templates or Azure Resource Manager.
That's right.
How does that figure into your world, and how and why should someone like an IT guy or an IT gal pay attention to it? What's the big difference?
Yeah, great question. So what we announced was the Azure Resource Manager support for infrastructure as a service, which actually runs a wide range of different resources. You can now put NICs inside the model. You can put virtual machines. You can put storage accounts. Mm-hmm. You can put routes. You can put all sorts of controls and new resources in the resource model, which allows you to, with a single template, it's JSON-based, so it's a nice, easily readable template. You can go in and define all the different aspects of your application that are going to deploy, and it will enable it sort of single-click deployment of all those aspects, which is great. You can make it sort of parameterized, so you can then hand it off to your friends. So if we were friends, as an example, I would take my template. Well, we're work colleagues.
Okay.
So I would take my template and I would hand it to you, and then you could deploy it and put in the parameters that you may have. Okay. Let's say I deployed West US. You said you want to deploy East US.
Yep.
And so you could go take the template that I built, put in East US, and away you go. Right? Maybe you want to use a different VM size.
Right.
All of these would be parameterized in my template, and then he could go deploy it himself. So it enables a lot of sharing, enables a lot of ease of use. It's really powerful. Mm-hmm. We announced it last week. And then this week, we announced the Azure Stack, which is in some ways the hybrid deployment of that same powerful model, right? And so what we'll be able to do is that same then template, you could then deploy to your private cloud if you wanted to, with the same parameter controls and so on. So really exciting stuff, if you ask me.
Very, very nice. Now, to be able to go off and to make templates, you can obviously go off and search and find them and modify them, like you're mentioning. To actually implement them and deploy them, is it like a PowerShell thing? Is it going through the portal thing? How do you go off and do that?
All of the above, Rick.
Oh,
of the above.
Is that how the answer is?
That's right. You can't stump me with that one, sir.
So
you can deploy it with the portal. You can actually deploy straight from GitHub. We have a bunch of them in GitHub for you to go sort of play around with and learn from.
Yep.
You can deploy straight from there. You can also deploy from PowerShell. And so it's very easy. It's like one line command to deploy from PowerShell, a template that's stored in some storage location, or from GitHub directly. You can also deploy from our Azure CLI, which is a cross-platform CLI that enables you, which you could run either on Windows, but then you can also run it on Mac and Linux. And so it lets you can pretty much deploy these from any tool anywhere. You can even deploy it from Visual Studio.
Nice.
How about that?
Nice. I like that. I like that a lot. Coming in for some questions here, coming in hot. We had one
here
coming a couple minutes ago from Data Chick, Karen Lopez, on the Twitters. She was asking, do you think Azure services will change how third-party vendors architect their solutions to make them cloud-ready?
That's a great question, and you said Data Chick?
That's her name on Twitter.
Data Chick.
Hashtag is Data Chick.
It's a great name. Yeah, thanks, Karen. So I do. I think, you know, when we look at a great example, actually, if you look at what we've got in GitHub already, we've actually got a bunch of ISVs, a bunch of partners who have built solutions using this new template language to make it really easy. A great example, actually, GitHub Enterprise is listed in there. And so you can go find that and deploy that from there. We also have a Mesosphere template in there. And so there's a lot of the ability to deploy these relatively complex applications with a single few clicks. You can enable these partners to deploy those solutions, and now they can go take them out and deploy them themselves as well.
Okay.
I think that, you know, hopefully this template-based language is going to make it really easy for these folks, these vendors, to go and build solutions that deploy great on Azure. Mm-hmm. And with this week's announcement, also deploy great in a private or hosted cloud.
Okay. Yeah. We have another one that just came in from the Channel 9 site from Frederick B. Any updates on single VM SLA?
Yeah, great. Sorry,
just so people know, from our SLA perspective, two VMs to be able to get the SLA.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, like most of the other public clouds. Yep. Yeah, the SLA is based on two instances. We still don't have plans for a single instance SLA. It's something that we're constantly looking at to see what that would mean and how folks would use that. But yeah, right now we don't have any plans on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good question though.
We have one.
Oh, there we go.
Kurit is asking if you could just do a little tiny bit more about your Azure IaaS session.
I see. Yeah. Good question. I feel like did you ask someone?
I did not ask you. give us a little tidbit about it.
Yeah.
Something interesting.
So what I'm going to do in my session today, first, of course, at least a dozen jokes. So that'll
minimum.
Be fun. Minimum.
Minimum bar
minimum,
of entry. Dozen.
Minimum a dozen jokes.
Yeah.
And so it's a policy that I have. And so I'll start off with kind of an overview of the Azure platform and sort of how it all pieces together. I'll talk about, you know, the hyperscale aspects of our platform, the hybrid aspects, enterprise grade, sort of scale up, and security, and sort of give a little bit of an overview in the first, maybe third of the session. And then I'll go into some detail on how the platform works when you spin up a VM. You know, what is storage doing and look like in the back end? What does the compute side look like in the back end? And how does networking sort of piece it all together? I'll put in some demos, and then the last section I'll talk a little bit about the template language and sort of how you can use it. I'll show some examples of things running in GitHub and that you can go deploy directly, again, using PowerShell. And then that'll be it. And most of the audience will leave wanting more. I will not give it to them.
Okay, but they can always find you to be able to ask questions afterwards if they wanted to.
They can. I move quick. I'm a wily one.
He is a fast one.
I'm a wily
definitely,
one.
Definitely a fast
so,
one.
So good luck finding me.
Actually, talking about templates and descriptive templates and JSON to be able to go off and define the declarative, I think Mark Vucinovich used the term yesterday, declarative
nature
of what, what those templates mean.
Yes.
What's your tool of choice to make that for you?
For me,
what's yours?
I actually use Notepad++.
I was about to say, is that it?
That is what I use.
Shameless plug for awesome Notepad editor.
Yeah, for the longest time, I just used Notepad, and then I got berated about that. So I use Notepad++. I've seen people edit them directly in GitHub.
Yep.
And actually, I've seen a bunch of folks, of course, build them in Visual Studio, which is a great tool. And you should use, but I use Notepad++ for a lot of my building. Actually, in almost all of the templates I built have been Linux-based and OSS-based. And I built a few on Ubuntu. I built one Docker one as well. Those templates are glorious. They're glorious.
Nice.
Yeah.
We have another one there from Ashish.
Okay.
Was the name. When you enable live VM snapshots in Azure so we can use the power of VM backup for data protection. I don't know if he's going to be talking specifically about just doing backups of the VMs. Remember how we had that just come out recently?
Yeah.
For what that happens to be.
Interesting. But
I don't even know if people know that we have instance configure backup capabilities
already.
To be able to restore
back. We announced this, maybe?
It was the end of April when it came out.
Yeah, so like just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
What day is it? I have no idea.
I would say
Cinco de Mayo. I do know what day it is.
Very good.
Of course.
Tuesdays with Corey. It's Taco
Cinco
Tuesday.
De Mayo.
It's Taco Tuesday. Yes. Tuesdays with Corey. And it's also Cinco
Taco
de Mayo.
Tuesday?
Yeah.
Where are my tacos?
Tacos.
Joey? Can I get a taco, please?
Taco.
We'll wait.
Lunchtime, I'll come find you. I'll give you a taco.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Joey's not actually out there. I was just pointing. There's actually no one out there.
It's just this blank wall.
It's just like
that we're looking at.
Wouldn't that be weird? It's being John Malkovich type of moment. I'm sorry. So let me answer the question.
Yes.
Where were we? Cinco de Mayo. Let's roll back. Backup.
Instances,
yes.
Backup.
Instances, backup.
Yes.
Okay. Here we are. We're back on track. So we do have a backup offer.
Right.
So Azure Backup, which has been in market for a while, actually, but it's been geared towards an on-prem to cloud backup. This is on-prem.
Yeah.
This is cloud. Okay. And so now what we have is cloud to cloud. So see what I did there? On-prem to cloud. Now it's cloud to cloud. We actually have Azure Backup where you can run directly in the cloud and you can do backup using the Azure Backup experience.
Right.
Which means you can control retention policy, you can control the frequency that you do it, and the agent that we built, or actually that the backup team built, I shouldn't take credit for it, the agent that the backup team built, it quiesces the disks. And so what's really cool about this is that, let's say you're running 10 disks, you've striped them all to run your massive SQL Server database. What the backup agent does is it uses actually the VolSnap technology, for those who are passionate about sort of how Windows works. It uses the VolSnap technology to quiesce or freeze all the disks momentarily. And then it says, hey, take your backup now. And so it makes sure that it's a state-consistent backup without necessarily slowing down the running state of the VM.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is a great combination of technology. They use our extension technology on the VM side to drop it in there. And then they built this great user experience to be able to manage them. So I love it. I think it's a great combination of what's sort of showing how powerful the cloud will be, even when it's cloud to cloud.
You mentioned Windows on there. Is it also
there is a Linux support
as well.
Yes, there is a Linux support
good
as well.
To know.
Quiescing of the disks is also a part of that story as well. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was hoping maybe you could answer one of my questions here. About,
oh, you have a question.
Yes.
Why do we call it Tuesdays with Corey? Was that the question?
I know why we call it Tuesdays with Corey.
Should we explain that just for a moment? Because I think
by all means.
We've got some time.
Yeah, we can plug the show.
So the Tuesdays with Corey is a weekly show that we have.
Yes.
What is the Twitter feed?
Hashtag Azure TWC.
Azure TWC.
Yeah.
I'm terrible, aren't
I? Yeah, I need to get cue cards.
Hashtag TWC, Azure TWC.
Yes.
Which, again, in one of the videos, I said pound sign, Azure TWC, which it is a pound sign. But anyway, and so this is a weekly show. It is named after the very famous novel or novella, which is Tuesdays with Maury. I'm not going to spoil the end. But I believe that I'm going to live through this one. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I love this.
Spoiler alert. It's been out there for a long time. If you haven't read it, you should, but I just ruined it. So,
if you're watching
and
this
now let me tell you what happens at the end of the Avengers.
If you're watching this live, you are able to ask us questions using the hashtag MSIgniteCH9, or if you're on the Channel 9 website at channel9.msdn.com, you can also go and fill out the form. We have a nice little prompt over here that'll come up and give us some questions there. The question I have for you is around Service Fabric.
I can answer that one. Sorry.
Can you talk to me?
Service Fabric. I can. I'm sorry. I was distracted. By
translate for me.
Yes.
What the Service Fabric means.
Yeah.
For.
I can do that.
IT pro.
I can do that.
Guys and gals.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
So the Service Fabric is a new technology that we've actually. I mean, it's new to you.
Yeah.
It's something that we've been running internally in Azure for actually quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Upwards of about 5 years, we've been running it and sort of honing it in the system. It runs some of our most complex, our largest scale-out applications that are running in Azure. Great example, actually, SQLDB, which now hosts 1.4 million databases,
yep.
Runs on top of Service Fabric. And what this does is it's actually a Quorum-based system that ends up doing both sort of the microservices approach to computing, but it also allows state to be considered as part of that deployment, right? And so what allows you to do is write applications that will combine your compute and state in sort of a seamless fluid motion, which allows a lot of throughput.
Okay.
Another great example, this new API that we just shipped, one of the things that we've had in the past with our API that we've exposed is as we continue to grow our API, and it has grown pretty dramatically over the last few years, we started hitting some scale problems, specifically around the hop, the network hop between the compute and storage stack.
Right.
And so, you know, we used Azure Storage for our table information and compute sitting on top. Over time, that ended up growing so big that the table hops ended up being a part of a slowdown, right? And so for those who have used our API a lot, you may have seen these, you've hit a locking issue, please call back sometime later. And so what we've enabled now by running on top of Service Fabric is the compute and storage is right next to each other. It allows huge amounts of throughput, and it enables those operations to be very sequential, very fast, without any slowdown whatsoever. And it's kind of a good example of the scale-out power that the Service Fabric is going to bring. It's mostly a developer-focused solution right now.
Okay.
It will, as it permeates and becomes something that more people write to, it will simplify a lot of the IT pro management aspects as well, because it does simplify the overall layout of the application.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Did that help?
It did. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course.
That was a succinct description.
Yeah.
Did you want to hit any of those two that are
so,
up there?
So this question from Karit. In your session, are you going to talk about installing SharePoint Farm in Azure IaaS? It's a great question. I'm not going to go into a step-by-step, but I did last night. I launched one using a template that we have, and I will use that as sort of my example template that I will kind of show a little bit about how the pieces come together. Mm-hmm. And I actually have one live that finished and successfully deployed overnight. It probably didn't take all night, I don't know, but I deployed it before I went to sleep, and when I woke up, it was done. And so I'll definitely show that as part of my session. So if you're passionate about seeing that, and that was from a template sitting in GitHub, so you can go deploy it yourself if you want to.
Very nice. How about this one here from Turf Monster? What books or websites do you recommend for a person just starting out wanting to learn more about Azure?
Yeah, great question. So books or websites. Well, obviously, Tuesdays with Maury, a very good book. You should read that. maybe not as related to learning Azure, but learning the truths and promises of life. It's very good. Let's see. What else would I say, would I recommend?
Well,
you know, it's interesting. I've been a part of a few book writing exercises for Azure.
Mm-hmm.
They're very challenging because
it changes so fast. Yeah,
exactly. By the time you end up getting to the point where the book gets published and then reviewed and then edited, and then it publishes, we've already you know rewritten the stack, right? Or made much of changes, or things are new, or so on. So a lot of it, I'd say, following the blogs is probably your best bet. The Azure blog has a ton of content in it. So you know you could even go through the Azure blog and kind of just click through. You'll find tons of great detail, how to deploy things, how to launch things, how to execute on the platform. And that ends up being a really good one. And then our documentation pages is probably a really good place to sort of learn. We have a lot of getting started guides and so on.
I definitely kind of, you primarily end up blogging because of the area that you obviously work in.
Yes.
Under the Azure blog and then the subcategory of virtual machines as an example.
That's right. It's azure.com.
Yeah.
So if you just go to azure.com and hit the blog button.
Right.
You can also documentation and you'll find a bunch of content there.
Right. Definitely a big shout out for the documentation team. They've been doing some great stuff step by steps and much more robust kind of linked and cross-linked different articles to be able to go off and
That's
find
right.
different things. I'm obviously going to go off and plug.
Yeah, I was going to say your videos.
I was going to go off and plug a bunch of different video content that we have on Channel 9, one of which is actually turned into more of a programmatic course, which is on microsoftvirtualacademy.com, which we'll go through. And that was our December day of Azure IaaS stuff for IT pros is now a.
It was basically it was our Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
For IaaS stuff.
But it was in December.
It was the IaaS Cinco de Mayo.
You can get to that one there by going to aka.
Cinco de Diciembre.
aka.ms/levelupAzure. We'll actually take you to that one there in case you're interested to see what happens.
A lot of good content in there, actually. My team did a lot of content in there. So.
I'm trying to do another one, eh?
Yeah.
We're going to be doing that one there in June.
Eh?
In June, we'll be covering something off in June time frame, so stay tuned for that.
You've exposed yourself.
People know I'm Canadian. How can you, like I said to the guy over at breakfast today, you can take the boy out of Canada, you can't take Canada out of the boy.
There you go. I'm from Jersey, so enjoy everyone.
Joy-Z.
Enjoy that.
We have another question up here from Trond Hindes. Would there be a validation tool or editor for writing ARM templates?
Yeah, great question, Trond. So right now, Visual Studio actually has some really great capabilities. You know, one of the things that Visual Studio can do is you can go in and they'll have some starter templates, and there's a big plus. There's a big plus at the top. And you can go in and click on that and actually add in whatever resources you want. It will auto-complete it for you and fill it in. So it's actually a really great tool for being able to deploy. And so we are looking at adding additional tools and additional support throughout and adding that sort of the ability to build and modify these templates in a lot of different tools. Like I said, you know, Notepad++ is very good for actually editing JSON. It does know the configuration and the schema. So
it is Sanders approved.
It is.
Plus approved.
Check stamp.
I just want to do a quick shout out here to Super Tech Boy, who was just mentioning on the Twitters, just watch Channel 9 for all of your Azure training and goodness. Thank you very much on the online for that one there.
He was thanking us for our
thanking
training.
Thanking us about the training that we do and we have available and the fact that you guys keep on doing videos.
He was good?
He was saying it's good.
So tuned well, to, I appreciate that.
And you know what? We should probably do a shout out. You probably have heard of this guy before. Hanselman.
Ah.
Azure Fridays.
Scott, Azure
Fridays. How can you not talk about Azure Fridays?
Could you really not remember his name, or was this it was a big ploy?
It was a bad joke. It didn't work. Thank you very much for drawing attention to it. He's a known individual.
I know bad jokes when I hear them.
He's got
so.
Oh, really? You do.
I don't hear them from my own mouth, but I hear them from other people pretty regularly.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I'm never going to be invited back on this show, am I?
No, you're always going to be invited on this show, man.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Now, I have another question that I want to bring up that this came across when I was talking to one of our customers a little while ago about the premium storage pieces.
Yes.
Premium storage is available for what family of machines?
Ah.
And don't give me any forward-looking statements or anything like that.
I won't avoid that.
How does it work for
that.
Now? How does it work for now?
So as of right now, it's available in coordination with the D series.
Correct.
And they're actually, and they're named a different size. They're named the DS series.
Oh, okay.
To help, the S stands for storage. So it helps unconfuse
that's
it.
That's why it's
How about that? How about that? And so the reason why we have that different size when you're using premium storage, and I'll talk a little bit about this actually in my
session. Okay, another teaser.
We take a little bit of that local SSD. So the D series has local SSD that you can get and you can use for storing things and so on, but it's non-persistent. when you're running with premium storage, what we do is we actually take a little bit of that D-series away, put it into the host, and then we run our own cache in the host on your behalf. And so it allows you to get a much higher read throughput than you normally would get, both throughput and latency. And so, you know, you can get sub 1 millisecond and upwards of like 50,000 read IOPS alone just using that local SSD that we then host and cache for you. Okay. And then, of course, the persistent backend for the writes and any, of course, the read misses. So it's actually a really great sort of combination of the technology. Mm-hmm. And we found, you know, when we talked with customers, they said, look, I want to use premium storage. I need persistent storage. I don't know what to do with that local SSD, and you're charging me for it. And this was sort of our answer to that, which is, hey, you know what? We know what to do with that local SSD and make sure that you don't even need to think about it. Mm-hmm. It all happens under the hood. It all happens in the host. And so you don't need to have complex application that knows what to do with it. We'll take care of the caching for you. And it's a really powerful thing. Then we're actually the only ones to do something like that.
Very nice. I just want to do a quick shout out. We had a request here from Ray to say hi to Mr. Morey's computer programming class.
Hello.
Hi.
Watching us. Nice.
Are they watching us now?
I don't know where they are. I can't see them. They're in there somewhere.
What? Ray, where is that located?
we have no context for where it's coming.
We're coming. Anyway. We're coming live.
Right into that class.
We're showing up.
I will make a call out as well for just even the creation of the DS machines and attaching up to the storage. If you're going through the web experience or the portal, you have to go through and actually create the premium storage account first. And then
yes.
it's not a default option when you're making a storage account.
Yes.
You have to say show all, then you'll see it, then you can create it, and then once that's done, you can make your disks.
Some of the templates make it actually a lot easier
yes,
to do.
Yes, I was going to say templates remove all of that complexity.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're stealing my thunder, man.
Keep going.
You're killing me here.
You're doing a good job, Rick.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I appreciate everything you do. But you know what? I think we're going to have to...
Are we wrapping up?
We're getting close to wrapping up.
Okay.
I just want to say again... thank you for being with us.
Oh.
I do want to shake your hand. Say thanks.
Look at that. That's a
sanitizer.
Shake. Yeah, you should sanitize. I'm extremely sick right
you
now.
You are sick right now. So I'm never going to wash this hand again. But
because it's
because I shook Corey's hand.
Oh, you shook my hand, so you'll never wash it. But then you'll also get sick repeatedly. So enjoy that one.
Stay tuned for our regularly scheduled programming that's going to be coming up. But on Tuesdays, we do make a release of Tuesdays with Corey. We're always looking for subjects. Interact with us with Tuesdays with Corey ongoing beyond Microsoft.
That's
tonight,
right.
With the hashtag AzureTWC. Here, we're going to be taking it off to another live hot room session. You're welcome to come down and see us here at the Channel 9 stage inside the registration area of Microsoft Ignite. And we're here in Chicago. We're going to be jumping off to Meet Exchange Server 2016.
Nice.
Hot room right after this with John, Kareem, Kip, and also Alan and some others. So stay tuned on the line. We're going to be off to that one there and come on back when they're done.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone. Where's my